Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. The term Christian means one who follows Christ, a disciple, a Christ follower. Now, if we are in fact not following Christ in a particular area of our lives, then we must conclude that that area is in fact in opposition or anti-Christ. Today we're going to be completing a message that we began last time and analyzing stated positions from the Black Lives Matter website. How they feel about abortion, how they feel about the family, how they feel about freedom and private property. And we're going to analyze the stated factual positions of the Black Lives Matter movement and compare that to what God has to say and what His will is in these particular areas. We hope that you enjoy the conclusion of this message as we wrap up this sermon entitled Christianity and the Black Lives Matter Movement.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Together, being blessed with children and raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the Western prescribed nuclear family. That is how God designed the nuclear family. And we see this organization intent on destroying the nuclear family structure. In future weeks, we'll talk a little bit more about Karl Marx, because you need to know. Let me tell you, one of his targets was the family. Wanted to destroy the family. I shared this with you before. Hey, you just have relationships with whoever you want to have relationships. If a woman winds up pregnant, she can deliver her baby, and she can have her baby for 6 weeks. Well, isn't that nice of the government? To let her have her baby for those first 6 weeks. And then she was to turn that baby over as a ward of the state, and they would raise that baby from that point on, and she could get back to work. Understand, Marx believed that the family was nothing but a tool of capitalists trying to accumulate wealth, and we had to destroy the family if we were going to fully implement a communal utopia. Folks, it's not an accident that the family is targeted on the Black Lives Matter website, because you saw in that video last week, one of the founders is a trained Marxist. Has nothing to do with black lives, does it? As a matter of fact, the things that has destroyed the black community in America is trying to destroy the black family. 1960s, black families were stronger than white families, almost never divorced. You didn't have all the misbehaviors going on because you had a dad at home to help raise those children. What have we done? Well, we've subsidized unwed mothers. Boy, wasn't that brilliant. And understand, basic rule of economics, if you want to limit something, you tax it. That's why they have all these sin taxes in Oklahoma, supposedly, to raise money. Oh, partially. But if you, what do you do when you, cigarettes are like $6 a pack, I guess, now. Steve, how much are they? Just kidding. Okay. But it's like $3 or $4 a pack in taxes. Why? Well, they want to get people to stop smoking, right? You know, if you want to limit something, tax it. If you want to increase something, subsidize it. So what do we do in America? We want to tax profit and tax business with increasing taxes the more you make. So we want to try to restrict that. Well, that's brilliant. And then we subsidize unwed mothers. Hey, every child you have out of wedlock, we'll give you more monthly allowance. That is insane. We have effectively, efficiently destroyed the family in America, and that's exactly what their target is here. Point number four, Black Lives Matter is anti-Christ because it's anti-authority. Again, as I said a moment ago, among God's three institutions established, civil government is one that's very important and established by God. Here we see the pilgrims as they're on the Speedwell getting ready to leave Delphus Haven, Holland for England, then eventually to the New World. But you heard a wonderful message by Pastor Dan, I think it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on Romans 13. I will not even attempt to try to cover that in depth because he did such a fantastic job. But let me say this in passing. Romans 13 does explain the wholeness of the situation. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Hey, that could be your family government. That could be your church government. That can be civil government. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. God established self-government, church government, family government, and civil government. Okay? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For civil rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So what's the civil authority supposed to stop? Evil works. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Hey, Christians ought to be good law-abiding citizens. Thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, that civil governor, is a minister of God. How many politicians today would you call ministers of God? Okay? Now, unfortunately, they have not been taught this, and most of them shouldn't be there. But if thou do that which is evil, then you should be afraid. For the civil authority does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So the purpose of civil government is to restrain and suppress evil, to make sure that we can live peaceably in all godliness. Now, let's take a look at their slide here. Here's part of Black Lives Matter. We wish to abolish prisons, and we wish to abolish police. Boy, that's a brilliant idea. Notice how well it's working in some of these cities. Notice what a cesspool that New York has turned into so quickly. Anybody ever see the old movie with Kurt Russell, Escape from New York? Little did we realize 40 years ago that that would be prophetic. Folks, remember on 9/11, as people were running from the World Trade Centers, who was running towards them? The police and the firefighters. God bless them. Every year, yeah, amen. Every year we honor our law enforcement, we honor our firefighters. Hey, they do a thankless job. And you know what? There is bad apples everywhere. We got a lot of dirtbag pastors around. I can think of a few things I'd like to do. No, I'm not saying, but, and sure, you may have a bad cop here or there. But let me tell you what. The overwhelming majority of men that I have seen serve our community in law enforcement are tremendous. And this idea of destroying the whole system. By the way, what do you think is going to happen? What happened to our military when President Obama was elected in office? You had a rash of Christian generals being ushered out. And replaced. Those offices didn't sit empty. We are setting records on police that are retiring from law enforcement right now. And for good reason. If their mayors aren't going to stand behind them, I wouldn't do it either. I'm not going to go out with a big target on my back. And then if I try to arrest somebody, I'm going to be charged for some criminal offense. These mayors, these city councils aren't standing behind their police. It's not a surprise. But don't think at all that this is an accident. This is done by design. They want to get the police officers that are doing it for the right reason out of office. And trust me, they have their brown shirts that they'll replace them with. And then when it comes time in the not too distant futures where Christianity is against the law, they will have their people in place that aren't upholding the Constitution or the proper role of government and the proper rule of law. They will be implementing their Marxism. So when they give a command to go and take your weapons away from you in violation of the Second Amendment, they will have people that will do it. When they go and arrest you for not wearing a mask, then they will have people that will go and do it. When they shut down churches and arrest pastors, then they will have people in place that will do it. This is not accidental. This is not by chance. But understand that this is ungodly. And notice what their goal is. I preached this back in early May when we talked about connecting the dots and how this is just a forerunner as they're ushering in global government. Look at this right here. We believe in transformation, radical realignment of power. Current systems we live inside, we need to be radically transformed, which includes a realignment of global government. power. What does global government have to do with Black Lives Matter? Absolutely nothing. But the issue is not Black Lives Matter. The issue is we want revolution so we can install Marxism and integrate America into global government. Look at how far we've come in just a few months. Used to be not unusual to see some countries like Japan and China wearing masks a lot of the time during cold and flu season. Well, now they're just preparing us, integrating us to conform with the rest of the world. You know what? If wearing a mask actually reduced my chance of getting a cold to zero, or reduced my chance to getting a flu to zero, I still don't want to wear the mask. I like being able to breathe. And if I happen to get a cold every year, so be it. If I happen to get a flu every year, I don't care. And let me tell you, as we're finding out, in fact, did you see the notice yesterday? The CDC once again came out and said, oops, we fudged the numbers. We've included the new tests positives, also with the antibody tests, which are positive, showing those that used to have it, didn't realize they have it, but don't have it anymore. We've added all that together to inflate the numbers. Folks, we must have the Keystone Cops operating the CDC. How can all our virologists make so many stupid mistakes? We've seen it in Texas, we've seen it in Colorado, we've seen it in Florida, we've seen it now admitted to by the CDC. Do you think they're really idiots? Folks, this is not by accident. They're trying to get us comfortable and bring America down to where we'll just blend in. Quite frankly, if I wanted to live in China, I'd go move there. If I wanted to live in Japan, I'd go move there. I like freedom. You know, that's what freedom, freedom is. I can make decisions for myself. I can make decisions for my family. The civil authority has a limited responsibility. And if they do a good job, they're in God's will. But when the civil authority is making their decisions and the decisions for the church and the decisions for your family and the decisions for you, well, welcome to the Soviet Union. That is not what we want. And by the way, how many of you would like to get a good case of the flu with like 104 degree temperature? How many of you want to sign up for that today? Anybody? No. No! So trust that we can be good stewards of our own bodies. I don't need the mayor to tell me how to keep my immune system up and wash my hands for the love of Pete. Boy, I'm going to put my head in here and smash it with it. I get so frustrated with this thing. All right, I'm sorry. Moving on. Black Lives Matter is anti-Christ because it is anti-capitalist. Now, folks, the term capitalism is actually misleading, and it's misleading on purpose. All economies have capital. The difference is who owns the capital. I'm going to play this video for you. You'll have access to it. I hope that you will forward it and share it.
Karl Marx was the founder of communism. He believed that the ends justify the means. So lying, stealing, even murder was okay if it helped to accomplish the goal of establishing socialism and ultimately communism. Well, one lie being told today is that socialism is good for the people, but capitalism isn't. The truth is, all economies use capital. Capital, by definition, is the sum of goods or services needed for production. So that would include such things as a boat if you happen to be a fisherman, or a tractor if you were a farmer, or a factory if you were in the manufacturing business. The difference is who owns the capital. So socialist economies are capitalist economies, and free market economies are capitalist economies. But in a free market, private citizens own and control the capital. We're free to buy and sell and do what we want when we want. We're free to work where we wish and do what we wish. But under socialism, the government owns everything, and that includes the people. The government tells you what to do, when to do it, where to live, what to eat. The government demands you work and then decides what they're willing to pay you. So what's the difference between socialism and a slave plantation? Absolutely nothing. Remember this, he who owns the tools makes the rules. When economic freedom is lost, political freedom perishes with it. Socialism is all about government control of everything. Socialism is evil.
Folks, Israel came out of absolute tyranny. Pharaoh owned it all, and the Jews were his slaves. When God brought them out and brought them to the promised land, God gave them private property. He gave them private property rights. They were commanded not to steal, not to covet, don't move the landmarks, don't use unjust weights and measures. Limited debt was allowed. Interest could be charged on business loans and ventures. But if a brother was hungry or poor, then you would help him if you could, and no interest could be charged on that. In fact, you were encouraged just to give to your brother charitably. They were to work. They were to provide for their own families. If someone refused to work, then they weren't to eat. Hunger becomes a great motivator to overcome laziness. In times of need, believers were to help one another if they could. And as Pastor Dan touched on a couple of weeks ago, Acts chapter 6 was not communism. It was not communal government. You remember after Pentecost, you had these 3,000 believers that had come from all over the world, from Greece, from Babylon, from Egypt, had come to Jerusalem, recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, and stayed here rather than going home. They were looking for Christ to return imminently. And as they were there gathering in the temple and their numbers were expanding, they had 3,000 saved, they had 5,000 saved, members were added to the church daily. You had all these thousands that were away from home, away from their jobs, I'm sure brought limited resources for their trip, their vacation to Jerusalem. And they didn't have ATM cards or anything like that. And here they were. And now they were running out of cash. They were running out of money. So what did they do? Those within the church, as they felt led, would sell some. Barnabas may have even sold all of his property. Well, good for Barnabas. And gave it to the church to help minister to the needs of the people. It wasn't the civil government taking from the workers and giving to those that won't work to make sure that all were evenly taken care of. This was an act of charity where members, with other members with legitimate needs, some members that had the ability, freely gave by the conviction of their heart to make sure that nobody went hungry. That was part of church government. That was not communism. That was charity. Now, the Bible affirms budgeting. It affirms avoiding debt. It affirms investing. It affirms diversification of investment. And Jesus even affirmed free enterprise. For example, Luke chapter 19, the story of the landowner who left and gave his stewards charge of some of his property. You remember what happened at the end of the day? There was one that was given 10 talents that raised 10 talents with it. One that had 5 talents that raised 5 talents with it. One that had 1 talent that took it and buried it in the sand and did nothing with it. When the landowner came back, they gave an account, found the one that had 10 had turned to 20, the one that had 5 had turned to 10, the one that had 1 had done nothing with it. Now, under socialism, you'd say you'd take all that and put it in a big pile and then divide it up equally so every man has the same amount. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, that guy that mishandled what I entrusted with him, that one talent, take it away from him. He is untrustworthy. Give it to the guy that managed the money well. You say, that's ridiculous. You do the same thing. Imagine if you had 2 investment advisors. One was managing part of your portfolio, and he made a 25% return on your investment in 1 year. Another was managing the other half of your portfolio, and he made 0 return on your investments. What are you going to do? Are you going to invest more with the guy that made 0? No, you're going to reallocate. You're going to take the money from him and give it to the one that knows what they're doing. That is the free market. That is free enterprise. And that is exactly what Jesus endorsed. Next point, Black Lives Matter is antichrist because it demands reparations. Folks, if I have wronged you personally according to Scripture, I should, 1, ask forgiveness, and 2, make it right. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, if there was theft involved, you repaid it 4 times plus a 20% interest. Well, that's a pretty good encouragement not to do it again. But I am not responsible for paying for the sins of my forefathers. Ezekiel deals with this exactly. The Jews were now in captivity in Babylon. And the Jews had this proverb, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, they're saying, we're suffering for sins that our fathers did. God said, no, you're not. Said, your all belong to me, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, each person is responsible for their own actions. Goes on to say this later on in the chapter. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed and spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which was not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. And you say, why? Well, doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all the statutes that hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wickedness shall be upon him. Those who have not ever owned a slave are not responsible to pay reparations to anyone who has not been a slave. Doesn't affect us. Hey, I sure am sorry about our history. You know what else I'm sorry for? Did you know back in the early 1600s, being a Baptist was against the law in Virginia? They used to catch Baptist preachers and torture them. They would drown them or threaten to drown them. They actually hung a couple of Baptist preachers. Do you see me filing a lawsuit against Virginia asking for reparations? No, I think that's a terrible part of our history. But there's nobody in Virginia that's responsible for what they did to Baptist preachers back in 1619. And I'm not affected by what happened to Baptist preachers back in 1619. Only your actions and your behavior, you are accountable for your actions and your behavior. And you're accountable for God. By the way, what does the Bible teach? Boy, the Bible talks about to live together in peace whenever possible. The Bible talks that we're supposed to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. The Bible talks about vengeance belonging to the Lord. Where does any of this idea fit in with what the Word of God has to say? The answer is it doesn't. Last point is this, and this is most important. Every life matters. And I say, oh, you're trying to change that. No, what they're trying to do is what Orwell called newspeak. They're trying to redefine terms and redefine your reactions to these things. Don't go for it. I won't go for it. You don't go for it either. Pastor Dan presented a fabulous message last week on skin tone. Factually, there is no black or white. That screen right there is black and white. Now, this is a team photo from the 1988 Chicago Bears. You see, Otis Wilson is a darker shade of brown, but he is not black. Paul Blair is a middle shade of brown. No, a lighter shade of brown, but he is certainly not white. That's white. Look at Ditka. White. Does that look the same? Nope. Okay, Ron Rivera. He's now the coach of the Washington, whatever they are, is Hispanic, and he's a medium shade of brown. So we've got light brown, medium brown, dark brown. There is no black and white. We are different shades of brown. Our features may be different. Our shade of skin may be different, determined by where our forefathers have lived and how they've intermarried over the last 6,000 years. So we'll have different predominant characteristics. Yet if you trace all of us back, we all are descendants of Adam. We all have the same original parents. All mankind is created equal in the image of God, and there is only one race, the human race. The only color the Father sees is the blood of Christ. Jesus talked about two groups of people. He talked about believers and unbelievers. Said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those who are justified and those who aren't justified. John 8, Jesus says, there are children of God and there are children of the devil. And become part of the family of God, according to John chapter 1, says this, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive Jesus, by faith, we'll see here in a moment, to them gave he the authority to become or be called the children of God, even to those that believe on His name, which were born not of blood. It's not because you're a Jew or because you're an American, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not by your good works. You can't do it. Nor of the will of man. I can't wish you into heaven. Your parents can't wish you into heaven. The new birth is strictly from the Lord. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. Hey, skin color was not an issue. The race issue was there because the Bible talks about Jew or Gentile. That was the division that had to be overcome. And Galatians 3 deals with that specifically. In the body of Christ, there is unity. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Folks, this is within the body. Obviously, I'm still a man. Women are still women. We may still have different talents and attributes. However, when it comes to our faith, our unity, it's in Christ. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are all one in Christ. Jesus has two groups, those that are justified and those who aren't. John 3:16 says this, God loved this world so much, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out why, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever trusts in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that Jesus came because every life matters.
Well, we thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we hope that you enjoyed how we wrapped up this message. And the reality is that the Father doesn't see black or white. The only color the Father sees is the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came because every life matters. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, black, brown, white, yellow, whosoever trust in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting this ministry. And we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.